It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how we own it!
What's up, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the general.
And we are your hosts of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. What's going on, my son, Lennon? How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, you know. So you got that Bronx shirt on. I got my Bronx hat. We representing the BX today. Shout out to Bronx logo. BX logo.
That's our friend. If people know, Bronx logo is the funniest person I've really ever met in my life. Is he Puerto Rican?
He is Puerto Rican.
He is a typical, hilarious Puerto Rican guy from the Bronx who says anything he wants to say and just keeps me laughing all the time. I love Puerto Rican men from the Bronx.
Yes, it's an authenticity just from the Bronx. But the Puerto Ricans from the Bronx just have a whole different authenticity. That's my brother, one of the purest, hardworking brothers I know. So shout out to BX Logo. AKA Poofa.
Whatever y'all be saying, y'all make up these words. So I'm dragging today. I'm tired because
you're not amped up.
We've been on the road so much, and you haven't even been traveling as much as I have this time. I went to the AKA Boule, which Boule. By the way, I got my pink and green.
Boule. They knew Boule.
Right. Oh, don't get them started. They love to say we part of Boule. Oh, you with Boule. You with the bougies and whatever. And you know, the AKAs, I ain't gonna lie, it's some bougie women up in there. We are certainly the pretty girls, and it is some bougie women in the AKAs, but there's a lot of women within the sorority that are very supportive of our work, and they do their own work. And you know, I was thinking that we're so unfortunately, like we're in this situation where most of us want to see people really working on like the smoking gun issues, right? So somebody's getting shot and killed and this happened and that happened. And you want to see folks really working on that, those things, because that's like at the heart of, you know, what is harming our community. And it's very visible and it's very painful. It's traumatic. And those things are important. And certainly we work on that, you know, every day. But there's also a need to keep our kids going to college if they want to go to college, right? There's also a need to make sure people have good housing, clean food, people, you know, get medical, their medical needs met, their mental health met, that their voting rights are protected. And so I'm trying to, as I'm getting older, understand that there are so many different roles that have to be played, that it doesn't mean that just because an entity is not like marching with us, you know, and out there, you know, whatever, out there. And by the way, many AKAs are, many Deltas are, many Zetas are. I mean, we think about Natasha Williams, a council, you know, she's our councilwoman now in Queens. That's our little sister. She's a Delta. She's in the street. You know, she's always out there engaged in, you know, fighting for justice. So I think people have the wrong impression. And some of it is because of the sororities and fraternities and some of the positions they take or don't take. So some of it is certainly their fault. However, when I'm really, now that I'm inside and I'm getting to meet more people, I'm actually learning like, oh, wait a minute, you're AK, I didn't even know that. And it would be somebody like, for instance, attorney Lanita Baker. This is a woman who was the lawyer for Breonna Taylor's family. She also was in the street with us when we lived in Louisville. She was our lawyer, our legal counsel, but she also was a protester. She's an activist. She is a lawyer who works on social justice cases. She's an AKA. So I think we have to give people, you know, more, and to go back to the original point, which is what I was thinking about while I was on the plane leaving the AKA convention, that, you know, there's so many, when you look at all the work that's being done within the sorority, there's so much happening that also helps our community. And it's unfortunate because we are so traumatized by the brutality that we don't realize all the time that some of what keeps us going is are things that people are involved in that you may never hear about. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that was just my experience.
Well, sounds like a good experience. You know, I just think that everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a role, you know, and we all do different things. And I don't expect, you know, everybody to do what I do. You know, being outside, being on the front line, you know, being visible, being vocal, you know, standing up against certain things publicly. It's not everybody's position, you know, and we can't expect that. And I think right. I think people's expectations are not realistic all the time. So I think, you know, shout out to all of, you know, fraternities and sororities who do what they do, and different individuals who play different roles. Some support the movement publicly, some support it from behind the scenes, some support it financially, and some just do their own thing. Everybody.
And some don't do shit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We can't, you know what I mean? Like, I think that the fact that the AKAs brought me in, which is kind of, yes, there are, like, you know, there are other civil rights leaders that are part of sororities and fraternities and all of that. So we're not saying that it's unheard of, but you know, with us, we often looked at as like, we way too radical, we, you know, whatever. And the fact that they brought me in, I think that's my role, right? Like, I'm not supposed to be there and just blend in with everybody else and be quiet, but I have to bring things like Brittany Griner and, you know, a Jalen Walker, Breonna Taylor, Tanisha Chappelle to the attention of the sorority so that they can find a way to take a position and get more involved, even if it is just raising money for bail funds and to give money to people on the ground. who are doing grassroots work. So that's the role that is, and it is incumbent upon me to find other like-minded individuals within the sorority and get them with me on the same page about helping to move the sorority more into how they can be a backbone, if you will, for people who are out there on the ground. So that's what I sort of took away from, you know, as I was leaving. I was thinking, wow, this is an incredible resource. We have 36,000 members, 12,000 of them were at the Boulé, which is a conference for people who might not know what a Boulé is. Shoot, we should be able to, if we get a dollar from each one of those organizations every month, I mean, each one of those individuals every month, that can help fund some of the work that's going on out here.
Definitely can, man. So, hint.
But, you know, while I was on the plane, I had so many plane rides this time. And I will say, because, you know, we beat up on the airlines when they messing up. So we have to say that Delta's, they slowly but surely trying to get it together. Because sure. I took 6 flights in the last 5 days or four or five days. I can't even remember. And not one was delayed it wasn't delayed or canceled. And my luggage made it on each connection. So it all went well. So that means that something is happening where they're trying to get better. They sent out an email from Delta saying that they apologize to all their customers because they know that their shit has been all over the place. But I was sitting there thinking, and I should know this, but who the hell controls the airlines? Like, who is it? Because guess what? The plane tickets, though, whoa. Like, the price of plane tickets, those 6 flights, one of them was paid for by another entity. But every other flight, either we had to pay for it as an organization or I paid for it personally. I know that it was in excess of $5,000. And I didn't even pay for, I think one flight I paid for first class. All the rest of them I paid for like comfort. And then of course, you know, got an upgrade because of your and mine. We both have diamond status. Yo, bruh, like that's a lot of money. And I'm trying to figure out who's in charge. 30,000 bags were in London somewhere where people couldn't get their luggage. Our friend Jennifer Williams, 10 days, she couldn't get her luggage. Who is in charge? Like, who is the boss of the airport, the airline?
The boss is the boss, man. The man is making the man behind the scenes is making the money, man.
So they just make the decisions?
That's it. He just decides. You never see him. You ever see, I think it's, I'm going to get you sucker. It's a movie where, you know, they talking about the man. And they all trying to see the man. He's just some white dude. And at the end, he's just a regular white dude. And he just controlling everything. And they back in the days, they always say the man is in control. Is the man? That's who's controlling the airports. The man.
The man got a grip on the airlines, buddy. Because I don't understand it.
Yeah, he getting a pretty penny.
Well, they say it's gas prices, but yo, nah, like yo. To go from New York to Kentucky, the price of a ticket being $1,000 in coach, what the heck? That's like, what are we talking about? And in our situation, this is why when people try to say, oh, why are we, are you raising money? You got your Cash App on your bio, which we never did talk about that, you know, when people were questioning you about the Cash App and the bio. But, oh, you know, y'all out here trying to get money for people. Four people in our organization, and that's just four. Mind you, we still have other members of our team. Jules, Stephen Green, different individuals that also need to be in certain places with us for certain reasons. But if you just start with us four, that's $4,000 coach, automatically. Hotel, get there, depending on the whatever's going on, it might have to be security and a driver, but in some situations, we either rent a car or we Uber. But a lot of times we can't do that just because of the nature of what it is that we're dealing with. How do people think that $10,000, that's food, everything, how does it get paid?
I don't know. I don't know. They think, you know, osmosis. They think that, you know, it falls out the sky, you know, and the work we do is just irrelevant. It's not worth anything. I stopped trying to figure out what people think, because the reality is, when you're not involved in this work and you don't, this is not your purpose or your passion, your vision and your view of it really doesn't matter, right? Because the families that we help, that call us and need us to be there and be on call and be at these meetings and be at rallies and press conferences and just holding their hand, period. You know what I'm saying? They're grateful. You know, they're very much grateful for us in the work that we put in, you know, and how we support them and uplift them and make sure that their family members' situations don't go unnoticed. So whatever that comes with, you know, the negativity of people who don't value us or don't see what it is we come, that's what it is, man. They crucified Jesus Christ, man. That's it.
We ain't nowhere near Jesus, so what makes us
nowhere near Jesus, so you know what they're gonna do to us. So I'm all for it.
So news stories. One that was super disturbing was the Brazilian doctor. They done kicked you off the Instagram damn near all the way off.
Yeah, man. Instagram, y'all gotta talk to me about this because I don't understand. I seen the video. You showed me the video 2 days ago, and I didn't post it up because I'm like, all right. But then there was an edited version that was on DL Ugly's page.
Right, because I showed you the raw, uncut footage. Somebody sent it to me.
And then when I see Earthquake posted it, DL is on every blog site in the world, and they took it off my page and suspended my lives. You know, and so I don't know what it is.
We have a ticket in for them to check what's going on.
Yeah, something is going on. It's not making sense because what happened is I put it up twice. The first time I thought it didn't post because it was on the page and there wasn't no comments for like 30 minutes. So I'm looking like, this doesn't make sense. So I took it down and then reposted it. And then I went my thing and it was like, oh, this, you know, new nature, sexual content. And it's like, there's no sexual content. You infer based on the title what's going on. You can see him moving around, but you don't see any woman. You don't see any genitalia. You don't see anything. So, you know, I don't know. But
then you said the man should be castrated.
I said in situations like this, I support castration. Any man, my thing is this, man, when you willingly...
Did we even tell people what happened with the Brazilian doctor? We didn't, right?
So the Brazilian doctor who was performing,
no, he wasn't. He was in the, he was on the medical team.
Oh, he was on the medical team for a woman who was beginning a C-section.
Yeah, she's getting a C-section.
And she was under anesthesia. And I think he was the anesthesiologist.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was the anesthesiologist.
That's his job. His job, because when people are like, why is he on this side of the sheet? He was there because he's supposed to be monitoring the patient and making sure she doesn't wake up in the middle of a C-section.
So what they had, they said that prior, there were other victims that had been getting too much anesthesia. And so they started to pay attention because they wanted to see what was going on. And this is how they caught him on camera, actually putting his penis inside the mouth of the woman while she was under. And he was doing all types of things with her. And I think he actually even ejaculated and wiped her mouth off and all this. It was, it was pretty disgusting. So I said to myself, any man who would do some shit like that, I support castration. Like, I don't think you deserve a penis at that point. Certain shit that a man do, especially sexual crimes of that nature and that are that disgusting, that you violate a woman in that regard, then you lose the privilege of your penis.
My God. I'm not saying I don't disagree, but it's a different country that you have to live in where that would be the answer.
I think if that was the answer, I think people would stop. I think people would stop forcibly and doing things like that, raping women, if they knew that at the end of it, they wouldn't have a penis.
They get caught. Whoa.
It has to be to deter you from certain things, right?
Yeah, raping women and children.
In certain countries, right, they give you the medicine that stops you from even having the urge to have sex. So it's the same thing.
Well, let me just tell you this real quick. In New York and across the country, it's happened to people a number of times. Andrew Yang, his wife said that a doctor had done the same thing to her. She felt like when she woke up from, I think, an OBGYN appointment, that a visit, that she knew that she knew basically that the doctor had sex with her, right? He numbed her some kind of way where she was laying there, couldn't do anything, couldn't move, but she felt it. Cy Vance, the district attorney in New York City, the most recent, he's former now, but he was just the district attorney. This is the same guy that after it came out that the prosecutor for the Central Park Five, mm-hmm. that she had been involved prosecutorial misconduct. And we said that he needed to go back and open the books and look through all of her cases or many of her cases to see whether there were other people like the Central Park Five who were in prison for, and their cases had been tampered with based upon her being a criminal, a damn crook as the prosecutor, right? He didn't want to do that. He also did not want to investigate and charge the doctor who Andrew Yang's wife accused. Didn't take long before all of these women came forward to say that the same doctor did it to them. And then, of course, at that point, he had no choice but to prosecute. But he didn't believe Andrew Yang's wife. Wow. Then after we learned this, women from all over the country start coming forward to say that the same thing is happening to them. So can you imagine? And of course, this woman, she's a darker skinned woman in Brazil, so looks like a Black Brazilian woman. Imagine what's happening to Black women. We already are not being properly treated when we go to medical facilities. We're not getting things that we need. We don't get the proper pain medicine. Imagine if it's happening to all women. Imagine what's happening to Black women when they go to the doctor, or you have to be under anesthesia and there's no one from your family or anyone in there to watch what's going on. It's probably so out of control that we would be devastated if we knew the stats.
Yeah, it probably is, man. It's disgusting, man. Just hearing it, thinking it, trying to figure out the mind state that comes with some bullshit like that, man. I'm praying for women. I'm hoping they catch all these sick individuals and they're punished.
Might need cameras in the medical rooms.
Yeah, at some point, because this is too much. When you commit and permit them to put you on anesthesia, like you pretty much putting your life into somebody's hands. So what's to protect you, right? Who's to be able to say what happens to you while you're under anesthesia? So I think that's something that people should look into. When you're under anesthesia, there should be cameras in the rooms where you're under anesthesia to make sure that the doctors and whoever are doing what they're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, that's something that really needs to come out of this situation as a policy, you know, for real. Okay, so Styles P, speaking of cameras, and that's your guy.
Yeah, shout out to Styles,
man. Yeah, I think, I spoke to his wife and she's like, she didn't say much, but just like, because that's scary when you see your husband and the police having an encounter. And we know from watching the video, the officer just wished the camera wasn't there because he was holding his gun. He wanted to do something. He's smirking. He wanted to do something. Tell people exactly what happened. Does anybody know what the woman was being arrested for?
Well, I've actually seen the full footage, right? And what happened was the young lady was doing DoorDash, mm-hmm. and she was on a vehicle. I don't know if she had the proper license for the vehicle, if she had the registration for the vehicle. So the police walked up and seen the vehicle, and then her and another
young lady. It was like a bike?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not a vehicle, is it?
It's like a little moped or something like
okay.
that. I don't know exactly what it is. So her and another young lady came outside and the officer asked for her license. And I don't believe she actually had a license.
Okay.
So what happened was she was like, she was trying to find a license. The officer was like, I'm just doing my job. I'm just giving a delivery, this and that, this and that. And she tried to take the bike and run on the bike. It was like, she grabbed the bike and tried to push the bike. Like, you're not going to run far on the bike.
Well,
right?
She could have got a ticket.
She ran with the bike. They ran right behind. I said, no. So she throws the bike. Please don't take my bike. You're taking my bike. So what happened at that point, the officer grabbed her to arrest her. And he was very forceful. After he already had her, it's two of them. He didn't have to throw the woman to the ground. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was excessive force. And that's what Styles see. Styles watched them chase her and watched him literally grab her by her arm and just toss her to the ground. And he was saying to himself, like, you didn't have to do that. Like, you already had her. It was no need for you to throw no woman to the ground like that. You know, and that's where the altercation comes. And it's you know, there are people going to say, oh, she should have never ran. And that wasn't excessive force. And I understand what you're saying. But the reality to me is, like, the police and the community we have to live in unison, right? The police has to have the respect of the community, right? So when you're doing things that are excessive force, when you don't have to give, you know, throw a woman to the ground, when you can grab a woman, there's two of you officers, and you can literally grab her and just put cuffs on her without throwing her to the ground, like, why isn't that something that is taught? Why isn't that something that you see to yourself to say, you know what, all right, I understand this woman is scared. She's you know, she didn't want to lose her vehicle. She didn't try to harm us. She's not of a threat to us. Why do we need to throw her on her face to the ground and put handcuffs on her, right? So, you know, there are people on both sides that say, oh, you know, she should have never ran and this and that. And for me, you know, I understand that, you know, she violated the law, arrest her. I just think that the way that we police our communities, you know, is going to determine the respect that the officers get, you know. And then what happens in those situations is us as men, and Styles did what I would have did. You know, I would have looked and said, yo, why would you throw that woman to the ground? Like, that was some real bitch shit. Like he said, you did some whole shit. Like, you threw a woman to the ground and you already had her. You didn't have to do that. You know, and at that point, and we constantly see these things, you know, so at some point, it is the officer's job to repair the relationship between community and officers. It's not our job because we don't have, you know, most individuals from the community, we're not trained in de-escalation. We're not paid to do de-escalation. We're not paid to interact with other people. So you're dealing with common people who have no training, who are just dealing with emotions, who are angry. So as the professional, the person who's being paid, the person who's supposed to protect and serve, it is your job to create the relationship that makes it easier for you to do your job in your community, not harder.
Yeah, well, listen, here's my opinion, and it's very brief. Two things can be true at the same time. She should not have ran. She probably should have had all the right licensing, which is a whole conversation. Because we could do a whole show about vendors who don't have licenses to sell things on the street, but they're trying not to sell drugs or hurt anybody. And by the way, just for anybody who wants to know, the vendors' licenses in New York, basically the city has given them all out. So in order to get new vendors' licenses, which there's a bunch of people on a waiting list to get their license to be a vendor, which is in essence, entrepreneurship, people selling hats, socks, the things that they're purchasing wholesale and bringing it to the community and selling it, you know, all kinds of things, oils, shit that folk be wanting, right? Like things that I've seen you say many times, yo, we about to travel to wherever, you like, yo, I need to get some t-shirts. Let me run down the block. You know what I'm saying? And go see whoever your people are, Poppy, that you know got white t-shirts, right? So vendors, their licenses, the city has given them all out. And the only way to get new licenses is for there to be legislation passed. So it has to go through a whole city council process. so that the licenses can get opened again to be able to distribute to vendors. So now you're talking about something that could take to a whole nother maybe year or two to get finalized because it's not a priority. And meanwhile, they throwing vendors, you see the women on the train selling their little whatever, the little oranges and whatever it is, the waters, they throwing women in jail, knocking them down, taking their stuff, throwing it out, all kinds of crazy shit happens. So we could do a whole show just to talk about this woman not having the proper license to do DoorDash. I'm sure there were many issues in terms of how she could get that license and what it takes and who's here to help her.
We're not disputing any of those things.
Right. We already know. We can imagine. Nonetheless, you need to have a license. And if you do get stopped, you can't just go running from the police. So we agree with that. Nobody's going to argue with that. But we can also say that the way in which police officers deal with Black bodies is out of control. Because they do not, you could send me some videos. Nobody ever does. Where do they take white women and take them and throw them to the ground? Who's maybe out there, maybe it's because a lot of white women are not doing DoorDash, or maybe it's because many of them have their license. Now that's a question of equity. Why is that happening? So there's so many things baked in the pie here that need to be, you know, that we need to break down. And that means that when you start being judgmental and say, well, she shouldn't have done this and she shouldn't have done that, you also got to question why the system even puts us in certain situations where ultimately you're going to be in contact with police. So, you know, I think you are 100% right that Styles did the right thing to step in, and that, because what he did do, because remember, there were two cops on her. So she was experiencing even more physical aggression with two officers. And what he did do was took the attention of one officer off of her. So that gave, you know, gives a little bit of ease. And he told her, lighten up, sis, you know, don't tense your body up so that they can get arrest you and do what you need to do. But he got one officer to focus on him, and that officer now is no longer engaged in throwing this woman around. So it's a lot to be unpacked with that. But moving along, the supermarket in Buffalo has reopened. And, you know, I got a lot of, I got a text message from a young man who we had on the show, Jamil Cruz, who deals with a lot of people in Buffalo. You know, he's a well-known leader in the Buffalo area, in that area. And he is, you know, he basically said, I don't even know how to feel about this. You know, we need the supermarket in that community because his office is two blocks away. We need the supermarket, but, and it's been renovated. But the idea of it, like just going to the supermarket, it's got to be traumatizing for those people.
It has to be. When you think about, you know, the last image that we've seen inside of that supermarket, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are family members who, that's the last image that they've seen some of their family members alive, right? You know, it's traumatizing. So, you know, that community has a lot of just work to do and just getting over that. So to see that that can happen and then that business goes right back to business a few months later, you know, it says something.
But they need their supermarket. Exactly what I'm
going to tell you, it says two things. It says that that community is in such dire needs that they can't even grieve properly, right? And then it also says that the bodies who actually lost in that community, you know, the community, because that store, whatever, that opportunity, they can open, they could pretty much probably say, you know what, we're going to build something across the street, you know, because we've seen lots out there that weren't being used. We're going to, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create something over here across the street. But it also says that, you know, those bodies, I don't know if certain, you know, edifices and buildings like that in the past have been opened as quickly, you know, after a traumatic situation like this.
Right. Well, the schools, usually the schools They closed, like they closed Uvalde and other schools. It was at the end of the year anyway, but they basically closing down and some of them have been condemned. They're not opening them anymore. I think they probably should have torn the supermarket down. And like you said, they should have built somewhere else. Because I think just going, like I couldn't even walk to the front of the supermarket. When I was there and we were filming and whatnot, I couldn't get, my legs just would not walk to where those people, like, you know, you can't get exactly to where people were shot, but you could get close enough. And I just couldn't do it. And I think the other part that's traumatizing is, like, I've been watching the news. Of course, we watch the news every day. I watch the news all night. I watch the news all the time. It's the main thing that's on my TV, phone. If I'm on a plane, I'm watching CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News, right? I ain't seen nothing about these people. The families in Buffalo, it's like it just didn't even happen. Don't hear nothing about it. I was glad to see that the president did have the oldest person killed in Miss Whitfield, killed in Buffalo. He did have her son, Mr. Whitfield, speak at the signing of the Safer Communities Act. And he and Mr. Whitfield talked about white supremacy. So that was a good thing. But I don't know, you know, that supermarket, it might be hard for me to go there.
It is. It's going to be hard for a lot of people to go there. So, you know, my prayers go out to the community, to the families, you know, and hopefully, you know, there's some level of, you know, ease slowly and the trauma gets dealt with and they're able to heal from it. And, you know, that brings us to what our guest is about, right? And when you look at all these things, it's recession, right? When we talk about the DoorDash situation, we talk about people trying to make some money in those situations, people frustrated, they out here trying to sell this. You talk about the reason why we need to get the supermarket back open, right? People are dealing with so many financial issues. Like, is there really a recession? You know, I've gone out, and when you go out, it's not even the same no more. People ain't even going out. They're trying to save their little coin, man. It's a different energy outside, man. I've heard a lot of financial analysts, friends of ours, talk about you need to brace yourself for this recession, and you actually see it. You look at, like you said, you talk about airplane ticket prices. We talk about gas prices. Like, everything is at the highest. It's pretty much been in my lifetime. I haven't seen things this high. You know, there's a meme on Instagram now where they said a $20 bill is like a dollar bill. So that brings us to our topic on inflation, recession, and how money is just hard to come by right now.
Yeah. Is it hard to come by, or is it just not so good to spend? I don't know. We're going to find out.
I think it's both. I think certain individuals have access, right, to be able to do things and during the pandemic, new ways of creating money came about.
Yeah. You know,
and old ways dissipated. You know, there are a lot of people who was making money different ways before that is no longer relevant now. So they trying to complete whole markets disappeared. Whole markets and ways that people are making money disappeared. And the money that they making just completely dried up. So it's a lot going on out here.
Okay, so let's bring our guest in to talk about this today.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
That's how we are. She comes highly recommended. You know us, we'll run our mouths the whole time, but we are not the experts. So we have Star Malone Song to come and join us. And, you know, I love that name. I just love it. Malone Song. I need to, you know, be saying that all the time. A personal finance strategist and the founder of She Building Her, where they help women transition from making money to building sustainable wealth. That's a really, really important thing, that we can make the money, but we need to be wealthy. And so thank you so much, Star, for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to be here.
There's so much to talk about. My son, maybe you want to kick it off, because I'm trying to figure out, are we in a recession or not? Like, they say we're going towards one, but it feels like we're in one now. So.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you say about our current financial state of the world right now, state of America? Like, what do you say?
Okay, so I take a non-traditional take on this subject. Okay, so I'm just put that out there now. For me, I feel there's a couple of things. So this is kind of a loaded question. First of all, when it comes to recession, recessions can only be declared in hindsight, like in actuality. So they can't say like, oh, we're going into a recession. Like, the economy cannot know if we were experiencing a recession until we have come through the recession or have been in it for a particular amount of time. The other thing is, I think a lot of people, there's a lot of buzzwords going around. So people are kind of really blurring the line between recession and inflation. So mm-hmm. we are definitely feeling the effects of inflation, but I don't know that we're necessarily feeling the effects of a recession right now.
What's the difference?
Okay, that's a great question. So recession, so first of all, inflation is the easiest. Inflation just literally hits your pockets. You feel it when you go in a grocery store, when you go to the gas tank, when you try to, you know, rent a space. You feel it because that means that the interest rates have gone up. That means, well, not that the interest rates have gone up. It means that the cost of goods and services are more, right? And so inflation is a natural thing. We've had this problem of consistent inflation since like the 70s, right? In the United States, we understand that it's always been a problem because the cost of goods and services are going up, yet everything else is remaining stagnant in terms of like salaries and things like that, right? So inflation is not new. It is being exacerbated by everything else with the gas prices and all the things. So it just feels really heavy right now, but it's not new. We've been experiencing it forever. That's inflation. Recession is when the economy domestically and globally look at a few different factors. They look at government spending, consumer spending, big business spending, and net exports, right? So like, are we selling as a country? Are we selling more than we're buying, right? Exporting more than we're importing. And so all of those factors combined creates a recession. If you have a constant downturn for a couple of cycles or a couple of quarters, they say, oh, we're in a recession. My non-traditional take on that is that most marginalized people have been left out of the global and really the domestic wealth building conversation. And so we don't really fall into the categories of government spending, of export, of, you know, big business. When I say big business, I'm talking about these $1 trillion businesses. We don't really fall into these categories. And so recession mm-hmm. has very little effect on us personally. It's like mm-hmm. one of the times in which we can actually just put our head down and be like, that's y'all business. Cause like, are y'all in a recession or are we in a recession? Because mm-hmm. you may not be in a recession personally, right? Even though on a larger scale, they're saying, oh, we're in a recession, but like, you know, is 80% of your wealth wrapped up in government contracts or exporting goods or services or even the stock market? Probably not to the normal person. So you may not actually be experiencing a recession.
But doesn't it impact jobs and, you know, other parts of the industry that does actually impact everyday individuals? Or am I?
Absolutely. So that falls into that big business spending. Are they spending money? They spend money on people, right? And they give us our healthcare, they match our 401ks, they pay salaries, things like that. And so they want to know if big businesses are spending money, and that would fall, us having jobs would fall in that category. Mm-hmm. Now, because you cannot declare any of this beforehand, all of this is just predictions and point of views, right? So my point of view is, the real only space that you would feel a recession as kind of a marginalized person is in job loss. So to prepare for a recession, you should have a candid conversation with your employer and find out their intentions. Are you all planning to lay off? Period, mm. right? And then if your business, if you're an entrepreneur or a small business owner or just a business owner in general, if you have business to business contracts, or if you have, you know, if your business relies on government contracts, you will start to feel it, right? Mm-hmm. It's very unlikely that you'll feel it in the housing market right now. As the housing market declines, people are still doing well. Mm-hmm. And so it's only like those two areas that personally people will likely feel a recession. Losing mm-hmm. a job, which we don't know because the huge layoffs haven't happened, right? We mm-hmm. had the great resignation, but the huge layoff situation hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And COVID prepared us for that. We're still in survival mode. So when people got laid off during COVID, a lot of people turned to entrepreneurship and things like that. And so COVID kind of prepared us for this moment. And so it's not going to be such a slap in the face as, you know, it would have been if, you know, pre-COVID era.
Okay. So what I want to figure out is this. So inflation is pretty much harming people of color, right?
100%.
Recession is not really our thing. That's big business. That's, you know, those people who goods and import and export. So, okay. So that makes a lot of sense. So what can the average person do during this inflation time to kind of prepare, kind of offset? Like, what are some strategies that you would recommend?
So I think the first thing, and I know no one ever wants to hear about mindset because they're like, that horse is beat. But I really feel like everyone needs to just take a moment, right? Breathe and get your mindset in order and make sure that your mindset is in alignment and you have intentions. What am I trying to get out of this particular period in our life or in this economy, right? And so you stop, you get your mindset together. Mm-hmm. Let's not give into the fear that they are pushing on us, right? Because there's marketing in everything, including economics and things like that. So on the internet, on everywhere that you see, they are beating us with fear. Do not give into it, right? Just stop for a second and understand and assess yourself personally. The next thing you do is you need to be responsible or accountable to your money. Create a spending plan. A spending plan is a budget. We, as She Building Her, don't use the word budget anymore because the women say it feels too restrictive. So we create spending plans, okay, not budgets. But you create a spending plan. Look, do you have your emergency fund in order, right? Where are you holding your emergency fund? Get you a high yield savings account, right? Because as the feds want inflation to come down, they raise the interest rates. When the interest rates are raised, that means money is more expensive to borrow, right? So if you have your money inside of a high yield savings account with a bank, that bank's interest rates are going up. So you're getting paid more on the money that you're leaving in there, right? So you want an emergency fund, but not just that you want an emergency fund, you want to sit it inside of a high yield savings account, right? You want to-
How much would you say that the average person, average woman, since we were talking about She Building Her, even though my son says she builds him too, but how much would you say a woman needs to have in the emergency fund?
Okay, so you have this like ideal number of like 6 to 9 months, but then you also see that like in New York, rent for the first time is on average of $5,000. Do people have 6 months worth $5,000 just in rent, not including utilities, car note, insurance, groceries, all these things? Is it possible? Like, if it's ideal to have 6 months, if you cannot have 6 months, like start at 2 months, right? Mm-hmm. And during those 2 months, work your butt off.
We say ass, shit, everything on this show.
To get work your ass, that's another right. month that's in there, you know, just start where you are with what you have. Don't get wrapped up in the, I should have this, because when you get wrapped up in that, you feel incompetent. And then you know what, YOLO, I don't got nothing. And that's just, it is what it is. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. We don't want that. Just start with where you are. So ideally 6 months, if that's not possible, just whatever you have, start putting it to the side and saving it.
So you were giving some more tips on things that people should do.
Yeah, so create your spending plan, make sure you have an emergency fund, some sort of emergency fund set up, make sure your credit is okay, just in case you need to get some, help and start borrowing some money, a credit card or something like that to float you. You should put it inside of a high yield savings account. Have a conversation with your employer to see if layoffs are coming, right? And then understand like opportunities in terms of like double down on your skill set, because inflation cannot just, like, we would like to just be like, let the gas prices go back to where they were, let the, you know, food prices and housing prices go back to what they were. But sometimes deflation is just as detrimental as inflation. So they cannot just drop everything, because we will still be in a bad situation. So it's kind of like this perfect storm happening. So really the bottom line is like, keep your head down and work. Just go and like stay focused on what you've been doing to generate money and income, double down on your skill set. If you have a business, like, just make sure you over delivering, retaining clients, because you may not get new clients at the moment, you know, just you just stay, keep your mindset aligned with wealth building. That is just the bottom line, right?
So if you're like a hairstylist, make sure you on time, taking care of your clients properly, learning new skills so that you can keep your people happy, because you may not be able, you know, other people might be like, I'm wearing braids for the next 6 months because I'm, you know, I can't afford to be going back and forth to the hair salon. My son is laughing because he know he knows I'm always. No,
but even that, right? Put PayPal Afterpay on your website and let your clients book that way. Put them on a payment plan. If you know that your client typically gets braids every 6 months, put that woman on a payment plan to pay you for every single month for 12 months so you can do her hair twice in a year. Like, wow. You need to get innovative. You need to start understanding your client and your customer and meeting them where they are. We got into this like false sense of like, you need me, I don't need you as business owners, which is kind of like,
that's crazy.
But the reality is you need to meet your client or your customer where he or she is. And so whatever you can do to accommodate them, because they want your goods or services, but whatever you can do to accommodate them, you need to get innovative and start implementing that now, you know, because now you're providing them the security of knowing my lifestyle doesn't have to just drop out, and you're providing yourself the financial security of knowing you're going to retain that client long-term.
Mm.
Sounds good. So this is a question that I ask all the time. Right now, so since we're dealing with inflation and also the quote-unquote recession that really doesn't affect us, what do you think, like, would be good investments, right? What would be the right now in this time, what business should we be looking to start and things of that nature?
What's the opportunities?
Yeah, 100%.
So recession definitely creates financial opportunities, right? 2020 was declared a recession. It was the shortest recession in history. But in 2020, like the number, like 1% of American adults became millionaires for the first time, right? Mm. And the number of millionaires went from like 5 million people to 56 million people, right? In 2020, in the height of all the crazy, right? So recession and really just unfavorable situations create points of opportunity, period, in most industries. But I'd say this, there's a list. So me personally, I would say you need to be looking into stocks, bonds, crypto, real estate, which real estate is not my lane, so I don't really go into that, but real estate. And in terms of businesses to start, that is like 1,000% not my lane. So I wouldn't even give any suggestions there. But in terms of investing, I think you need to take advantage of stocks, bonds, and cryptocurrency. We know
Talk about bonds.
Okay, so stocks are equity, right? So you buy a stock, you own a little piece of a company that's doing well. So when that company makes money, you make money. It's equity, it's ownership. Bonds is debt. It's basically an IOU. You put your money here. It could be given to a corporation. It could be given to the government. There are different kinds of bonds. You put your money into this bond, you're basically saying, hey, I'm willing to lock my money here for a given amount of time if you give me my money back plus interest on this specific date, right? And so the higher amount of the bond, the more money you put in there for a corporation to pull and use at their discretion, or the government to pull and use at their discretion, the higher the interest rate is going to be on it, right? Mm-hmm. Because the more, you know, money makes money, right? And so in times like this, when interest rates are going up to bring inflation down, if you put your money in a bond and interest rates are going up, you're just going to like be making more and more money on that IOU that you gave to a government or to a corporation to use. And so it's really, like I said, keep your mindset aligned and with intention and know like, hey, can I do without this $5,000-$10,000 for 3, 5 years, 10 years? The more money and the longer you let it sit, the more money you're going to make on it.
Because they'd be the loan shark.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, like all of these illegal activities,
yeah,
the inspiration came behind from legal activities.
Or maybe the
legal activities came from the legal activities. Actually, you never know. Just like we look at bootlegging liquor back in the days, right? They wasn't selling liquor first. People started making it and selling it, and then the legal people say, you know what? We could do that. Just like weed, the weed industry. It was founded in the hood. They were selling weed in the hood before they had these dispensaries. So don't be, listen, I'm just keeping it
leave
real.
It to a Negro to know how to Negro the situation.
I've been outside.
Yeah. No, I feel it. Although they were selling cocaine before the streets were selling cocaine.
Okay, yeah, they was. That's the first thing they did. They definitely was selling that first.
So I know that just took a left turn. She looked at us like,
No. I was getting ready to say, because you think about poppy seeds and all of that stuff. Like, so they always had a way to get high.
I said 100% yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you agree? Okay. I thought y'all was saying I'm wrong. No. So, yeah, like they always had some kind of way to get high. You know, I don't even know, because I need to find out, when we talk to our friends in Africa, what were we using for the euphoric feeling? I'm sure it's something.
Mushroom.
Oh my God, we were using mushrooms?
Girl, they've been.
Shrooms is the thing.
Shrooms. Look at this guy.
I'm just merely telling you the street name. The street name for it.
Okay. So, anyway, let's get back on track here. We are trying to educate folks on what we need to be doing in this moment. So let me just recap. Inflation is what hurts. So we're hurting right now because people are definitely hurting. You can't travel with your family. You go to the grocery store because your paycheck is the same. And in some situations, because of COVID and whatnot, it might even be less, because you may not even have the same, like you said, my son, whole industries have been gutted, basically. Things that people were doing in the past, there's not even a need for. So even, I just think about, like, you know, there's probably some, we don't know the numbers, but there's got to be some decline in transportation, like Ubers and all of that, because people are working from home, you know? So you got that situation, you're trying to balance it out. And then
because there's way more people that want to be Ubers, right? Before, they used to be like, oh, you get an Uber, you make this amount of money. Now it's so much many more Ubers out there, and there's less money to be made.
Yeah. And then you look at the number one place of inflation is in new and used car sales.
Wow. New and used car sales.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are forced to use things like Uber and Lyft and stuff like that, because it's hella expensive. Like, I know y'all are both y'all in New York?
Yeah, and
do
parking.
New Yorkers have cars?
Yeah, we do actually. We have two damn cars. That's the problem. Okay. But guess what? Parking is trash in New York. Like, the cost of parking at the studio where we shoot, when we're able to go into studio for this show, the parking lot used to be like, what was it, my son? Like $50 or something, which is ridiculous. And now it's like $80 to park for a few hours.
So I just read an article about, in New York, they are converting structures to parking structures, and they're selling a spot for $1 million.
Yes.
Each spot for $1 million. But people were like, that is so crazy. And I'm like, well, when you really think about it, it's really not that crazy, because if you can get a mortgage or something on that $1 million spot, you then own it. And so you can, it's kind of like Airbnb. You can Airbnb it out, right? Not like but it's not that crazy when you think about annually how much you spend to park there, and versus how much you spend in transportation costs or other short-term parking. Like, it sounds crazy, but $1 million for a lifetime parking spot is not crazy.
Well, this is what you're saying is a fact, because when I lived on Park Avenue and 37th Street for like 10 years, and the building had a parking lot, and we had the means. So it's not like we couldn't, but at the time, or the person that I lived with, which, he was very financially stable, that's the point, but he also was a person who didn't want to spend money on anything. So the building's parking spot was like $350,000. for the spot every year. And he's like, nah, I'm going across the street. We're going to walk three blocks or whatever for the other thing. But the other spot was, you know, ridiculous, like some $6,000 or something dollars a month. It's just ridiculous. It's in the end, it still is way too much money for a person like you, like not you, but me. I can't afford it. So this is why you get priced out of living in certain communities, because there's no way that you can afford to keep up your car, to keep up the mortgage or rent or whatever payments. The food prices are super high. Just buying a sandwich down the street is a $15 purchase. A sandwich, a juice, and a bag of chips. It's $15 on the corner of where I used
to live. Chicken wings in the Chinese restaurant are $7. I was
thrilled. Where? In the hood?
In the hood. I could not believe they told me that. I said $7 for 4 chicken wings? Are you kidding me?
We spent $20. Well, we were spending $20. We just figured this out. We spent $20 a day on me and my husband a cup of coffee in the morning. Wow. Every day.
One cup or two?
Well, one cup for me, one cup for him. So 2 cups is $20 total. $10.
Not by Starbucks?
No, it's Dutch Bros.
Yo, it's a California thing. So inflation, to recap, is what hits us. In recession, there are some things, but overall, when the country is going through a recession, people are pretty much stable. Like they're just, you know, our marginalized folks in our communities is just like, we've been doing this. We're going to keep on doing the same things we've been doing and making
some people deal with their stuff.
Right. As long as you keep your job.
And as long as you keep your job. And it's like one of those things where it's kind of like, when I hear main media talk about recession, I'm like, oh, welcome to the club. I'm glad you guys are feeling it. You guys, like, when y'all are going through it, it's a damn recession. When we going through it, it's laziness. Like, make it make sense. When the math ain't mathing for y'all, it's a damn global crisis. But the math have not been mathing for us for a long time, and we've been stuck in the survival mode, so we're gonna make it do what it do regardless, because we have no options. You know, we're gonna stay in that, we're gonna stay thriving, our version of thriving, whatever our version of thriving is, we're going to stay there while they are up in arms and trying to push their fear on us. Let them have their fear, and we just gonna just continue to do what we've been doing.
Well, I think that's a great way to get you. It's like, hey, it's like, just don't spend excess money, basically. That's the whole point. It's
spend on your area of opportunity that you're going to dominate during this recession. If it's stocks, if it's crypto, if it's real estate, whatever you're going to step into and dominate, because opportunity is going to arise, right? Whatever it is, you need to just say, all right, you know what? I can't afford to really take on real estate right now. All right, stocks are much cheaper to get into, right? Especially with all these splits happening. Stocks are much cheaper to get into. So I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna go heavy into my investing in the stock market, because I'm going to pick one of these areas to dominate, because 3 years, 5 years from now, I'm not gonna be left here saying, I just tightened up the ropes and refused to spend anything. You are going to have to spend in order to triple your net worth within the next 5 years as we come out of this recession season. Like, you got to spend, just spend on the right things.
Spend on the right things. Like, my bags and shoes is not exactly going to help me. So I need to spend on something different. Let me just think of my question real quick. It was that you were saying spend on the, and I think sometimes what we don't understand or we don't consider is that training courses and, you know, sessions to learn more about the industry that you want to be in, that's a part of the spending.
That's an investment.
Making sure you educate, it's an investment in yourself.
It lets you go further, faster, and we need to get there faster, because we're getting lapped in this whole wealth race right now. So you need to go further, faster. So if you find someone that you align with that can teach you a skill set or you know, a strategy that's going to help you go further, faster, invest.
Invest. I love that. Thank you so much, Star. I appreciate you so much for coming on Street Politicians. And we always have men on the show who talk about you know, financial wealth. And, you know, this is an area that a lot of our brothers really are excelling. They really are in the investment space. You know, we've had some great shows that have done well in terms of the number of people listening. But I'm always saying, where are the women that know this work as well? And here we have you today from She Building Her. And so thank you so much for coming on. We've got to have you back.
Thank you. Can I just drop just a little strategy right at the end here?
Please.
So I know we've been talking about the mindset around investing and stuff, but just like the strategic stuff, if you're listening, get out a pen. I need you to diversify your assets, right? So we're going to buy stocks, we're going to buy bonds, we're going to buy cryptocurrency, we're going to buy real estate. When it comes to stocks, I need you to make sure that the stocks that you're purchasing are good long-term stocks, right? There's a handful of strategies out there that'll help you gain or generate income from the stock market. But if you are literally looking to place your money in there, allow it to build while you work on the other thing that you are passionate about, mm-hmm. make sure they're long-term stocks. Make sure you're getting some blue chip stocks, right? So those are super stable, cash heavy companies, Visa, Home Depot, Apple, things like that. Make sure you're buying some dividend payers. We need extra income. Make sure you are investing in some of these companies that are dividend payers. You Google dividend kings and dividend aristocrats, and you will find the best dividend companies to invest in on the S&P 500. I know this is a lot that I'm just saying, but go to Google. The other thing is you also want to make sure that that you either Google or ask somebody about the tax implications of your investing, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you are making or declaring as a couple less than $215,000 a year, put that stuff inside of a Roth IRA so that you don't experience this massive growth, but then end up with this massive tax bill. You want things to grow without taxes, okay? And then when it comes to cryptocurrency, there's a ton of scams, right? But everything is not a scam. And we as a people cannot think that everything is a scam. So you go do your research. The best thing that you can do is just invest in like the top five coins, Bitcoin, you know, Ethereum, the top five coins, and do a dollar cost average strategy of investing in crypto. That means it doesn't matter how much the crypto is, it only matters how much you are willing to put in to crypto every given amount of time. So if it's, you know, $200 a month, it doesn't matter how much a Bitcoin is. It just matters that you are going to buy $200 per month worth of Bitcoin. That will get you a very long, long way when it comes to investments.
Mm. So we need to find you so people can take your classes and listen to, you know, your sessions on all of this, because everything you just said sounds good, but it seems like as soon as we finish hearing it this fast, it just dissipates. It's like, what? You know, like do Arithium, the ICA thing, Google dividends, aristocrats. See, I did remember. But you know, it's hard to keep up with it when, as soon as you finish listening to this one class, then you got your baby crying in the background. You need to cook dinner. You got to make it to work. Maybe you study in for it, you know, whatever you're trying to pass a class. Your husband wants loving. Yeah, you know, whatever is going on, it's a lot. So to keep up with this, you do have to stay in school, if you will, and keep educating yourself. So tell folks how they can find you.
You can find me. I'm most active in terms of social media on Instagram, and it's SheBuildingHer_CA. So SheBuildingHer_CA. And then you can always find me on my website, shebuildingher.com. You can text me at 510-327-8747. Just text the word money, and then like, it's actually me. We can exchange conversation. And I just want to make a point. Everything that you just said in terms of how it feels overwhelming is what I identify with. And it's also why I strictly teach women, because I understand the struggle and I'm able to meet my client where she is, because I've been there, done that. Kids, husband, household, the whole thing. So yes.
Well, She Building Her.
So thank you so much, both of you. This was an amazing conversation. I really appreciated you having me here.
Thank you for your expertise and everything that you do, man. We appreciate you.
My pleasure.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, she gave us some dope information, real good, you know, especially the way she ended it. That's, people need that, right? You know, in these times, there are a lot of people that have a couple dollars that want to figure out, what do I do with these couple dollars? You know, I want to make a dollar, turn a dollar out of 15 cents, mm-hmm. you know, and she gave us some good information. So
yeah, she's got good strategies.
Yep, we need strategies. We need real strategies at these times because that coin ain't going as far as it used to, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I said people on the streets before, during the pandemic, they was getting them PPP loans and everybody was buying this and they had this.
Messing with these people with their PPP.
Listen, because the PPP is no longer everybody on EEE and these streets is dry. You better figure out how to make a couple dollars, man, because Uncle Sam won his money back. You know, and that brings me to another. I was just looking at the news where the district attorney in Atlanta says within the next 60 days, she has two more major indictments. You know, so
and they must be local Georgians.
You know, they have to because she's a state district attorney. State attorney. Not, you know, so it's not a federal case. So, you know, it's tough out here, man. I'm saying, listen, the streets is gone. They gonna take you down. Everything is a RICO charge. They not gonna let you get away with it. They catch you with a gun. They gonna roof you. They gonna send you to the upper room. People ain't playing with you, man.
But what does that have to do with your I don't get it? That's not, what I don't
it, no, because my forget my I don't get it because this is important, man. Like, you know, when you think about the amount of people who are going to be in jail in the next couple of years or probably within the next year, actually, based off things that happened during this recession and during this inflation and because of this inflation, it's serious. So we have to be, you know, honest and be informative to these young kids and whoever's paying attention who can get the message to let them know that they really going to take you down.
Yeah.
Like they're going to take you down. That's
true. Hopefully people understand that they on your ass.
You know, my prayers go out to Young Thug and Gunna and all of those brothers dealing with that situation. I don't know, you know, the details. I just know what I hear from the news, but I know that it has to be, you know, traumatizing to go from being a millionaire one day, being able to have everything you want, to the next day, you fighting federal and state RICO charges, which can land you in jail for the rest of your life. You know, and I see, you know, I've seen another brother that I know, I don't want to say his name because I don't know if the information is correct, but I seen.
I saw
that they looking for him for attempted murder, you know. So it's so many different things that's going on, especially within the hip hop community. And that's why for me, this Boycott Black Murder campaign and, you know, initiative that we're launching, you know, is going to be something that's important. It's education, it's cultural, it's getting the young individuals that's engulfed in this culture, you know, who've been following the culture of negativity and violence to rethink what that looks like, right? To rethink, how do we have the same culture? How do we enjoy the same fun? How do we wear the same clothes and enjoy the same things without violence, without negativity, without those things that can either lose our lives or lose our freedoms, right? How do we retrain the culture to make being nonviolent and being someone who intervenes and de-escalate situations someone who we celebrate, you know? So that's what it is for me, you know, because I'm tired of seeing people that look like me that come from the same culture go to jail. You know, you got K-Flock one day, he's a hot rapper, the next day he's fighting murder charges. Like, that can't just be it. It can't be we get hot as a rapper for 1 minute and then next thing you know, you fighting attempted murder charges and RICO charges and you just a name that somebody posts on a t-shirt and free my man while you sitting in jail for 100 years. Like, that can't be what all this
the
is.
The norm. Yeah,
we can't normalize that. Can't be what it is. So, you know, my respect goes out to everybody, but I'm going to be on the front line of changing that narrative and changing that reality. You know, so
Well, there it is.
That says a whole nother topic. Maya don't get it. State representative. I seen state representative lady and she was twerking. Now she's twerking. She was on her handstand. She was twerking on a handstand. You know, buttocks fully out, twerking. And she was saying
twerk too.
She can twerk. And I'm not really mad that she can twerk, right? I'm just trying to figure out. Is this the new thing? Like, is everything like sexually overly sexual and explicit? Is that the only thing that we do to captivate each other? I was watching Carisha's show, right? And I was listening to Kevin Gates, and he was just saying the most vulgar shit that you could possibly say, right? And it's just like, and people just in tune with it. And it's just like, so is that the new thing, just to be completely sexual and all the way vulgar? Like, cause I mean, if it is, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Because there has to be, like there has, you know, they say separation of church and state, right? There's certain things that go in certain categories, right? Certain things, I'm multifaceted, right? I do many things. I know I'm well-versed in street life. I understand the dynamics in the streets. I also understand, you know, to a level politics. I understand how to bridge gaps in certain things. And sometimes you play different arenas, different ways. But for me, is this going to be the new thing that the new senators, and when you run it for office, it's going to be some sexual thing that makes people pay attention to you? Like every
she got elected without the sexual stuff and had an overwhelming support from her community. I think that there's always been people who were different, right? If you watch American Gangster, you learn how Adam Clayton Powell, as a congressman, he was just different from the others, right? And we see people like that now. That's just who she is. Like,
I mean, even though Adam Clayton Powell was a street dude who understood politics.
What? Right? Well, but I'm saying he's still in the ways in which he worked, right? There are a lot of other congressional members that would have never been engaged with relationship, with Malcolm X. He cursed people. He was gangster. The way he handled things, he was definitely different. I'm just saying she is a woman who was in her, you know, wherever, her private time, she was twerking, and she basically was just like, hey, vote for me. And that's it. It's not that serious.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying
the trend that everybody else has to do it or any of that.
What I'm just trying to figure out, it's like, right, this is what it is. Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion, right? They got WAP,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have different songs. I think that you have to read the room, right? I think when you're doing certain things, I don't think they're going to go to the White House and perform WAP. Right?
And she wasn't on the campaign trail.
Well, what I'm trying to say,
so what are you saying?
How are you not on the campaign trail when you're saying vote for me after you?
First of all, it was not a campaign ad. She just said, vote for me, and they made it a big deal. What I'm saying is that I'm sure that that woman, when she goes to her campaign events, when she's in her community, she like she was on vacation or somewhere relaxing. And as she was doing her twerk, she was like, vote for me. Okay, cool. What I'm saying is I'm sure that when she goes to work, she puts a suit on or whatever she wears, and she does whatever she's doing. And
I'm saying, why would you attach your job to, if she was just out there twerking and she twerked?
I'm saying there may be some people that don't vote for her. There may be some people who do. The reason why I can't, first of all, for me, there are more important things folks to be worried about. That's my opinion. But also in my situation, I have a number of people, and basically, just so you know, most of the folks, almost 99.9%. I think I can say 100% because I'm just thinking really, yep, 100%. Of those individuals who have contacted me about a bikini picture online or some sexy picture that I posted have been men. It's been 100% of those who have something to say about how I present or what I should wear or how sexy I should or should not be have been men. I literally rarely ever, and I'm making it up because I cannot see the face of the person or even know.
So you're saying that not one woman said anything?
Not one woman. Now they may say it's behind the scenes or whatever. I'm not saying what, but I'm just telling you, not one woman that I know that knows me also. Because most of the women who know me and they're around me outside of the movement, they say, you know, that's Tamika. That's
what I'm trying to say is this, and I go through the same thing, right? Like I haven't.
No, you don't. You're a man, and you
don't. Like for me to say, it's not about sexual. It's not about sexuality.
Exactly. That's my point.
But I'm just trying to tell you, like, to your point, it's people who know you, right? When people who know you, then they know there's a certain dynamic of you that exists, right? They knows that when you go out and you on the beach, you're going to have on a bathing suit. You're going to have a nice bathing suit on. When you're in a party, you're going to have on a sexy dress. They know this is Tamika. This has always been who Tamika is. So people who are just being introduced to you because you've done speeches and you've been at political events and you gained and garnered attention and garnered a level of leadership in a space, and that's all they know of you, might be surprised by certain things you say.
That's
right?
Fine, but I'm just trying to tell you, there's no women that was so surprised that they contacted
you. I'm not saying you wrong. I'm not saying it at all, right? And what I was saying is I dealt with the same thing because there's aspects of my song that people will see on the internet and be like, oh no, I followed you because I liked you did this. And I ain't know, that always been me. Okay. So there's never been a man that knows me that called him like, yo, Mice, you should, because they know that's who my son is, right? There's always been women that called me. More often than not, there are women who say, yo, you need to not do this because that's just different. It's a dynamic that they haven't been about me. So what I'm trying to explain to you is not saying she's wrong for what it is. I'm just saying everything has a place, right?
So what are you talking about?
What I'm trying to say is I'm not going to go to church.
But she wasn't at church, she was on the beach.
But I'm not saying at the beach, right? I'm not gonna go knowing that I'm a pastor of a church, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm not at church and I'm be on the beach, right? And say a rhyme about shooting somebody and say, and make sure y'all come to my church tomorrow, right? Listen to me, because I still represent that church, right? I represent that church. And even though I'm on my free time and I'm doing whatever and I rhyme and I like Snoop Dogg's rhyme, right? I'm not going to do that and then connect it to my space and my work nothing to do with that.
I just
wouldn't do that.
I don't disagree that connecting it is problematic for folks. Like they can't get past that. I understand that. All I'm saying to you is that there are many people. There are many pastors out here who have large congregations that talk about all kinds of shit, okay? And they use it as a marketing tool to draw people into their congregation. I'm just saying that the woman was twerking, and in the midst of her twerking, she said, vote for me, and it became a thing. I do not believe that.
I just don't get it.
The way I feel about it is like, I don't care. That's how I feel. It's okay. Not so much whether I get it or not. I just don't care. What I do care about though is she on the issues? Housing, healthcare. I need to know that. Because if she's not on the issues and that's all that's going on here is the twerking, then she definitely is not qualified to be a state representative. But
her qualifications is not even my thing. I'm just talking about
telling you the way that I look at it.
Okay.
The way that I approached it when I saw it, I wanted to know, is this somebody who's on the issue? So I went on her website. I see she's on the issues. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just less concerned about the twerk. I just don't care.
Well, my thing is this. Is there?
But you don't have to convince me of your point. Your point is you don't get it, and I told you my point is I don't care. Why we gotta keep going back and forth about it?
And with that said, I'm not going to always be right. Tamika's not going to always be wrong. She will be wrong a lot of times, like probably right now. But we will both always, and I mean always, always, always be authentic. Peace, people.
Listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.tv. That's how we own
it! There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health. With great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.